Good evening. I'm Steve Evans with the Meet the Candidate series on News Talk KVEL. Each political season, Evans Family Media invites all candidates running for national, state, and local offices to join us for a conversation about their position on issues affecting us all here in the Uinta Basin. The Meet the Candidate program is aired each Tuesday and Thursday evening at 6 on KVEL and is brought to you by CNS Hydraulics in Vernal, Runners Incorporated in Roosevelt, and Evans Family Media. This evening, we have the opportunity of visiting with Duchesne County Sheriff Travis Tucker. Now, Travis has been with us serving the citizens of Duchesne County for 8 years. Travis, welcome to the KVEL studios.
No, thank you for having me.
It's good to have you back on the air with us. Tell us a little bit about your personal background. I know you personally, but a lot of people that are listening might not know who Travis Tucker is.
We're born in Ogden, grew up in Idaho, moved here to the basin in 87, graduated high school here, became an officer in 95. My first job was at the Duchesne County Sheriff's Office, and I've been 32 years in law enforcement and 8 as sheriff.
Wow. Family, right, you have a wonderful wife.
Wonderful wife, yeah. She was in the Victims Advocacy Program, and that puts it, that's pretty high on the top of my list too. When we get into the law enforcement, I ride motorcycles and travel cross country on motorcycles.
What kind of motorcycle do you?
I have an adventure bike.
Oh, you're an adventure rider.
I'm an adventure rider.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
Right. You share the road with Harley Davidson riders?
I do.
Occasionally?
I do. Sometimes. Sometimes.
Tell us some of the responsibilities that you have as Duchesne County Sheriff. What is your average day like?
Yeah, our office, it's a good office. It really is. And for the size, it does really well. We're pretty respected when it comes to other agencies in the state. So right now we have over 50 certified employees. That includes the patrol and corrections. And we have about another 15 civilians. We run a jail of 100 state inmates and 70 county inmates, and cover court security. And we have a misdemeanor probation program that we just started, and we cover it all. So when you get up in the morning, you're busy until you get home at night.
What are your administrative skills like? I mean, I have 10 employees, okay? And out of the 10 employees, we have conflicts fairly often. And I'm in the middle of them sometimes. Sometimes I let them figure it out on their own, but oftentimes I find myself in the middle of them. What is it like for you with 55 employees?
65 employees.
Okay.
And 50 of them are law enforcement. Okay. You know, so they might be a little bit more difficult than others. I have found in my style is I write good policy. I follow HR rules. And I allow people to have the responsibility to make their decisions. You have to look at it. We have officers out on the road. They're not always going to have somebody telling them what to do. They need to know what their job is. They need to know what their policy is. And if they fail in that policy, we immediately try to correct that with a corrective action plan.
Interagency cooperation, MOU agreements. I think you have an MOU agreement with the Forest Service. A lot of people probably don't realize that. Ballard, you provide law enforcement services.
I don't.
For
don't I don't.
Is that Roosevelt City?
Roosevelt okay. City did. Right. My MOUs include Forest Service. We provide patrols up on the forest ground. We also have MOU with the animal shelter in Roosevelt, and right now what we're really wanting to be, or what I really want to do, is make sure we get MOU with the Ute tribe.
Now, you've been working on that for a while, haven't you?
I've been working on that for years, yes.
Is that something you'd like another 4 years in office to push through the finish line?
I would. We haven't had an active agreement since 2011, and these agreements basically just tell us how we act when we are on the reservation or we're dealing with non-tribals, and vice versa, how they act when they're dealing with non-tribals on non-tribal ground.
I can't imagine a more difficult situation than to be in pursuit of an offender and not knowing where the boundaries are, because we have such a checkerboard area of tribal boundaries, non-tribal boundaries. How do you know if you're on tribal land or not?
is very difficult. Computers are making it better because I believe we're still running under a 1996 point of time map that we have to work on to find out what is tribal and what is non-tribal. And there's about five different types of tribal ground out here. We barely got the last one through the Supreme Court and they've ruled on it. So hopefully now we'll be able to put a map together to where we know what we're supposed to do. I can give you an example. We had a major crime that occurred in Mitton City. What would happen is Duchesne County would respond, BIA would respond if it included a tribal member, which is one I'm thinking about did, and we would all start to work on it at one time. We'd have to take that information, send that information back to Washington, and they would do a land status of that land, and within a day or so, they'd call back and tell us who had jurisdiction over that case.
A day or so. You can't operate under that kind of time restraint.
We do. Wow. We do operate under that, and it's worked really well.
It has
worked well, and it's because we have good relationships with BIA and some of their leadership.
My next question is, what is your relationship like with tribal officers?
It's great.
Everyone I've met have been really great individuals.
We work great together. We work great on the boots on the street, on the ground. We work really good. Okay. And we're able to go through these things and make them work.
Now, you also work with the FBI. You work with Uinta County Highway Patrol, Roosevelt Police Department. You have you guys are responding to a call, right? And all hands on deck when you have a major incident. What is your working relationship like with these other agencies?
They're great. You know, we've worked together for so long, and it also helps. Helps that you have family there as well. You know, Chief Watkins with Roosevelt City, we just work really well.
What about growth that's coming? You know, it's not a matter of if, it's when. Sure. The Uinta Railway is going to be here, and with that is enormous growth, and that's going to impact Duchesne County probably more than anyone. I would even say more than Carbon and Uinta counties. Do you have the resources that you need to address this growth? Because with growth, I'm assuming increased crime comes with it, right?
Absolutely.
Especially with transient workers.
Right. How could it not?
Yeah.
How could it not? And so we have a plan. The good part about the railroad being delayed a little bit is we can work on our plan a little bit more. So within the last few years, we have gone from one of the lowest paid agencies in the basin to now we're the highest starting wage in the basin. So everybody come and work for Duchesne County Sheriff's Office if you're trying to get in law enforcement. That's my shameless plug.
How did you accomplish that, Travis Tucker? Can I call you Sheriff Tucker or Travis Tucker?
Both.
All right.
Both.
How do you accomplish that?
We worked really well with the commission. We know what our job is and how to get that done, and they've worked really well with us, and they were able to get that for us.
Big geographic location that you'd cover. I mean, you have what, Taviona, all the way through Fruitland and Current Creek, and then you come all the way west over down through Roosevelt, and then back up Neola. That's a lot of country.
It is 60 miles by 60 miles. The Highland Trail and Nine Mile Canyon are both in Duchesne County. Uh-huh. And it's 3,600 miles. We try to have three people on shift at all times, but
that's three states on the East Coast.
It is. It's big. It is a lot of country, and so we do need more. And I have a plan. It's a 3-year plan to get us those officers we need. And I'm just hoping to finish that out. And
what is your fuel bill like?
My fuel bill is crazy right now.
I'll bet it's even going up and up and up.
It is. And we try not to mess with it too much because some years we're low, right? Uh-huh. You know, when the gas goes down, we're low. This year we're going to be pretty high.
Yeah.
There's some things we can do as administrators, you know, more stationary patrol, making sure we have the people in the right area patrolling their area. But that's just going to be one of these things, that gas is going to be high price this year.
Do you have the resources right now in your budget to see to the safety of the patrol deputies and to see to the safety of the public?
Yes, absolutely. We have highly trained deputies. We have great equipment. We have We have those MOUs and those agreements and those friendships within other agencies because we're reliant. You know, we get all the way out in Tabiona. The closest people that are going to be there is Wasatch County or DNR or somebody like that. And we have those relationships and we've fostered and built those relationships over the years.
What is your response time like?
Well, it's from where to where.
Well, when you're out in the woods in Tabiona or something like that, and you have to respond, is it difficult? Do you have deputies at all parts of the county all the time? It would be impossible to do, wouldn't it?
We do, but we have you know, call out trees and we'll call people out if we need to. But as far as working, we're a 24-hour department, and we usually have three people on, one on the east side of the county, middle county, and west side, and they do very good at...
Now, do your deputies patrol alone, or do they have backup with them when they
are
ride
alone.
Out to a call?
They're alone.
They're alone.
Mm-hmm.
That is a dangerous job.
It can be, and it's not for everybody. You know, we have had people leave to go what I would think would be a more dangerous job, going out and working in Salt Lake City. And they'll come back, and they said, well, when I called for backup, you know, I had 30 people there within 2 minutes. When I call for backup in Tabiona, you're 45 minutes before anybody's going to get
it's
there.
It's just the way it is.
Yep. So you learn to de-escalate. You learn to talk to people. You learn to take care of yourself. And it's not for everybody.
How important is mental health training for your deputies?
It's big right now. It's the big buzzword.
De-escalate.
Also, with mental health is you're looking at the mental health of your officers, not just the people you're dealing with.
Right.
You know, back in the old days, that wasn't even a word we talked about, you know. And nowadays, we have apps that can get people some of our officers' mental health help within seconds. We have free mental health for officers and their families. We have set up with Northeastern Counseling and other agencies to provide mental health for our officers and their families. And
so you have those resources that are readily available?
Readily available at any time, 24/7.
Technology's helped in that regard?
It has. Yeah.
What about body cameras? How important are those to your line of work?
Hugely important.
Does it improve safety?
It does. And hugely expensive. We have body cameras on every one of our officers, and including in the jail, and it records interactions in the jail and any interaction that they have out on the road.
Does that help with liability?
It does. Helps with liability, and it also helps with some of the interactions they're having with the arrestees or people that they're talking to. They know that they're on camera.
There so they behave a little differently?
Maybe behave a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I would imagine being held accountable with that.
If everybody had a body camera on them at all times, I think it would be a different world.
Sheriff Tucker, you spent some time building state relationships with these other law enforcement agencies throughout the state and with the state legislature. How important is it that we have good representation there as well as locally?
I think it is at the highest importance. It is at the highest importance. You get out there to the legislature and you've got over 1,000 bills. You've seen it. It's 1,000 bills. There's no way you can read them all. And we as sheriffs, go out and I protect what laws are coming in to protect the citizens of Duchesne County, protect their rights. We had a bill this last year that came in that said the sheriffs could not work with ICE. How is that going to work with Duchesne County if we can't even make an agreement with a federal agency? You know, we make agreements with BLM and Forest Service, and we need to be able to make agreements with ICE as well. In my opinion, that is the number one thing the sheriff does is protect the civil rights and the constitutional rights of the citizens of Duchesne County. And we do that either by protecting them from federal overreach and state overreach. And it's happening every year. It's happening all the time.
One question I think some people will have, operating budgets. What are your philosophies regarding operating? Are you within your budget? Do you operate your department within your budget?
Right. We have a $9 million budget, and every year I've been within that budget. I provide excellent training, excellent equipment with that budget, excellent medical in the jail with that budget. I think I'm very fiscally responsible with taxpayer money.
Are drugs a bigger problem in rural communities than they are in maybe metropolitan areas? Or
matter? I don't think it really matters.
How would you rate the drug problem in Duchesne County versus other counties in similar size? Do we have more because we have so many people living off the grid?
I think a lot of it is the type of work that we have out here, right? We're oil field. We are, the oil field workers and some of those transient workers that come through and work when they're building and then moving on. I think we have about the same as everybody else.
Okay.
I brought in two more canines this year, and we're getting them trained up. I believe there's a lot of drugs going through Duchesne County as well.
On Highway 40 and 191.
On Highway 40 and 191. And so we brought in two new patrol dogs. I'm one of the only sheriffs in the state, rural sheriffs in the state, that has a canine specifically for our jail. And it stays in our jail and goes through. Yeah, and it's
what are their names?
It's just one. Sitka is the one that's in the
Sitka, like the Alaskan city.
Sure.
What are your philosophies regarding drug problems? And an offender that comes in on a drug charge, do you have empathy for those people?
Absolutely. There's not a whole lot the sheriff can do, right? So the judge. The prosecutor prosecutes them, and the judge sentences them towards a matrix and sends them to the jail.
Yeah.
When they get to the jail, we give them every opportunity because that is their best time to get clean, right? We're making them get clean in the jail.
Yeah, they're
we're
forced
feeding
to.
Them. You're,
they don't get drugs
right,
in the jail.
They don't get drugs in the jail, so we're feeding them. We're getting them counseling. We have counseling sessions that they can go to. So they are very receptive when they're in jail. So we have programs, we get programs, we get them on the correct medications, we get them in with Northeastern Counseling, we try to do those soft handoffs when they get out, you need to go to Northeastern, we give them 30 days worth of their medicine when they leave the jail so that they have every opportunity to make it when they leave the jail. The problem is, the second they leave my doors, I don't have any control over them anymore.
Yeah, they maybe sink back into the same
right.
environment, and the environment
right.
I'm assuming would have a big effect
at times. At times they're, they go directly back into it. There are times where we find the medication that we give them in the trash can outside of our office doors as they're leaving, because they don't want to take it anymore. But we're there, we're trying, we've got every program offered to them, and we do.
How would you describe the safety protocols there? You work with interactively with Northeastern Counseling, mm-hmm. Telehealth available. Is
absolutely.
There, all of that is available.
Yep. So right now it is so different. It is so different than when I started. We don't really have visiting anymore. Everybody's got an iPad, and on that iPad they can request telehealth, and they can request these things, and they can email their family and friends for support and a few things like that. So there is, in a way, a lot more communication they can do when they're, not feeling right, or they're coming down off of things.
Community relations, Travis Tucker. How do you feel about the community relations with your deputies and you personally in your department? Is it good? Does it need improvement? Are
no.
you happy with it?
I feel like it's good. We're out with the community, either at county building uh-huh. for the county fair.
What about school resource officers?
Yeah, school resource officers. A couple of years ago, we got the new school bill, and it is a great bill in ways. But what it also does is it mandates the sheriff's office to train all of the guardians that'll be at the schools. So it's another one of these great state plans that I think is great, and I think it'll work, and it'll make our kids safer.
Are they unfunded mandates?
But the sheriff's office has to fund it. So we have to train them, and we have to fund them through, and we've been able to do that and get through. I think every year when it goes back into the legislature, it'll be added to and made a little bit better. But right now, it's just one of those, you know, sheriff, here you go, make this work. And, you know, we do it the best we can.
Do you feel that you're, the deputies that you have as school resource officers, what are some of the schools? I mean, you have Tabiona and you have Aldemont.
Right. Name Duchesne. Duchesne has the complex. Well, basically a complex. It's a high school and the elementary. In Mighton, we have an elementary and the special school there, the Connemore School. And Neola, we have an elementary school.
What are the biggest problems that deputies see with school children, with high schoolers or middle schoolers?
Well, we'll go the high school first. Okay. Is
they're different, aren't they?
They are. Different problems throughout, but it's getting younger and younger. The cell phones, you know, and the bad things that come with cell phones when you're younger, right. The sexting and the
is
sexting
pornography
cases.
A problem?
It is. It is. Our sex abuse investigative team, I think they had over 120 cases last year, not just sexting in schools, but problems with that. Then you get down to the younger kids, and even the younger kids are the vapes, the vaping, and still problems with phones.
A Crimes Against Children Task Force, is that something separate from you, or do you work in tandem with them on some of these cases?
It's all the same people, but it's a grant funded, so we can get a little bit, recoup some of our money back from ICAC.
Okay.
But it's the same group that works our child abuse cases.
Cyberbullying. Technology's exploding in this generation, and with it comes some negative. Cyberbullying, we never thought of that when we were kids, right?
No, and you have to look at it too. I mean, we all had bullying, but bullying only happened when I was a kid, when you went to school from 8 in the morning, when you left at 3 o'clock, that bully didn't follow you home into your house and bully you all night long too. And so cyberbullying is 24/7, and it really affects these kids. And We try to combat that by having good relations with our DARE officers, and we teach that during DARE, and our school resource officers.
So you still maintain a DARE program?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I maintain a DARE program to all fifth graders in Duchesne County.
What are some of the benefits of the DARE program?
I think I was a DARE instructor for a couple of years, and that was 8 years ago, and I still have some of my students that are confident enough that they can come up and talk to me. Uh-huh. And so if we can get anybody, any good adult in the school that kids can come up and feel comfortable talking about what's happened maybe to them or what they've heard, or I can't, you know, tell you how many times we've had an issue and they'll come up and tell the officers and we figure it out. And I don't know where we're going in the future. I would love to see an officer in every school, just for that. An officer in the school, I think, would be great to maybe stop the worst of the worst. You know, it'd be terrible. But those relationships that law enforcement gets just by being close to these kids when they're growing up is just, it's amazing.
When I was a kid, we didn't have those programs where you interacted with law enforcement officers. If you interacted with the law enforcement officers, because you were in big trouble,
it was
right?
bad. It was terrible.
Of course,
right?
I did have a buddy whose dad was a police officer. And, but anyway, so what about AI challenges that are coming? Are we prepared for the type of bullying and level of bullying that can happen with video modifications and the type of horrible things that could happen to
right.
young men and young women?
Sure. A couple of things with AI is it could be devastating, the deep fakes and the things like that. I'm not sure where we're going to be on that and how we're going to work on it, but I have a 5-member investigation crew, and their sole job is to, you know, protect the children, investigate the crimes, and find out how we can prevent these crimes. And I have always said, I was an investigator at heart. I spent most of my career as a child abuse investigator, and I've always said, with enough manpower, you can solve any crime. So I put people in there, I put dedicated people in there, and you know, that's what their job is. I can't figure that out all the time. I have great people working for me, experienced people working for me, and that's part of what they do.
Is Duchesne County a safe place to live and play and work and
absolutely recreate? Absolutely it is. And you can see it every day. There's bad things that happen all the time, but it's how you handle those bad problems, and I think we handle it well.
Sheriff Tucker, final comments to the citizens of Duchesne County.
I am pretty proud of Duchesne County. We have a highly experienced bunch. My administration crew, just my 5-person administration crew, has over 140 years of Duchesne County experience. So we get what we're doing. We know Duchesne County. We can handle the things that come across our desk. And it is a safe place to work, and it's a great place to be, and it's the place that I want to be.
Final question. I know I've already said this final question, but if you get pulled over by a Duchesne County Sheriff's deputy, what advice would you give?
Well, that honestly depends on who you got pulled over by.
Okay. A Duchesne County deputy, one of your deputies. I'm driving through, I'm speeding, you know, I'm going about 8 miles, 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. Oh, gosh darn, lights come on, I get pulled over. What advice would you give me?
Definitely not say, I'm going to get Travis on the phone. That never works. My kids have tried it.
Name drop.
You can't name drop. My kids have tried it. My nephews and nieces and all my family have tried it.
From a public safety perspective or an officer facing, keep your hands on the steering wheel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Keep your hands on the steering wheel. Roll down your window. No fast movements. Don't jump out of your car and wait for the officer, and he'll
be polite.
Be polite, and he'll ask you what he needs from you.
Okay. Be polite, yeah. Be cooperative.
Absolutely.
Even if you are in trouble.
Even if you are in trouble. I mean, it's just a few dollar ticket. It'll be fine.
Yeah. All right. I want to thank Sheriff Travis Tucker for joining us this evening for the Meet the Candidate radio series here on News Talk KVL. Now, this program is made available by our good friends at CNS Hydraulics in Vernal, Runners Incorporated in Roosevelt, and all of us here at Evans Family Media. The program runs each Tuesday and Thursday evening at 6 on KVL through the June primary. This program is also available for download and to share on basinnow.com. Just find us under the Community tab. Evans Family Media is reaching out to each political campaign for an invitation to participate. And we'd like to thank Travis Tucker, Sheriff Tucker, for accepting our invitation to join us here this evening on News Talk KVEL. I'm Steve Evans. Thanks for joining us.